This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World. And be sure to use discount code NERDS2016 for 20% off. That's TouringPlans.com.
Of course, you'd be goofy not to listen to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 160 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome back to the show. This week, we have a really good topic. We have basically a lot of good news for you, and when I tell you it's exceptional news, it's an understatement. And we also this week are going to kind of mention some of the things we're thankful for in commemoration of the week of Thanksgiving. Before we start, let me introduce who's with us tonight. First, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I'm happy to be here. Missed last week, so I'm glad to be back.
Yep, nice to have you. Also, tonight we have Charlotte. Charlotte, how are you?
I'm great, Ed. It's so nice to be here this week. Hey, Jimmy.
Hello.
And along with those two, we have Sam. Sam, how are you?
Well, bam. How are you, Ed? Doing great, getting ready to eat some turkey this week. It'll be good.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So for this week, our topic is going to be some of the great new things that were announced down at Walt Disney World this past week in a couple days. There's been some amazing announcements and some really incredible things. So each of us is going to take one of the things we thought was really exceptional, talk about it a little bit, we'll discuss, and then move on. To finish the show tonight, we're going to do some things that we're thankful for, basically that we're thankful for based on Disney this year. So we're going to do a couple different things, and hopefully we'll surprise some of our other co-hosts. We'll see. So, guys, how's everyone doing this week?
Great. Hungry. Ready for Turkey Day.
It's a short week. How can you not like that?
I know, but for being a short week, it seemed like the longest one.
True.
Time has dragged this week for whatever reason.
It did drag big time. But we are to the night of recording, which we're doing actually this week, Wednesday night. So for all of us, Thanksgiving's tomorrow. So, yeah, we're totally looking forward to it. And to everybody out there listening, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving and didn't get too full. So for the topic tonight, we're going to talk about some of the new things in the parks. And there's going to be some really in-depth things we're going to talk about because they're so exceptional, and a couple one-liners because it was announced and we thought it was worth noting. And one of the first things I remember hearing last week was the announcement of new Magic Bands. Now, Jen was at a D23 gathering, and one of the things they talked about was they have new Magic Bands. Sam, tell us about that.
So Magic Band 2.0 was announced at Destination D, which is the conference that they have when they're not having the D23 Expo. It's sort of the off years, and Jen attended that. And we'll be hearing more about that experience in future shows, I'm sure. But one of the things that was announced that I don't think we really saw coming was the announcement of Magic Band 2.0. Now, Magic Band 2.0, of course, is the evolution of Magic Bands. And according to Disney Parks, you will be able to create new, unique, personalized guest experiences. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I can speculate a little. On the show in the past, we've talked about some of the Magic Bands and the things that we had. And I think everybody knows that I love to travel with my Darth Vader Star Wars Weekend Magic Band. And when I tap one of the things, it turns red and it breathes like Darth Vader, which is really cool. And my daughter has one that's Olaf, and when you tap it, it lights up all different colors, and it sings in summer. It's kind of cool. But
that is
the
cool.
Last trip, they didn't work for me in October. They didn't do that anymore. And I started thinking, what's going on? This kind of stinks. And I know what they said, it wasn't any guarantee. However, some of what we're hearing about these new magic bands, outside of being physically shaped different, there's a much larger face on it that almost looks like a watch, maybe to make it easier to tap to do the, Mickey to Mickey. But in my Disney experience, there are some rumblings that you'll be able to set a personalized ringtone of some sort for your band so that you can personalize it to do many things at the entrances to the park, which I think could be kind of cool, right?
Oh, definitely. Now, I got to imagine you would do that online on your
part of my
Disney
experience. Just like you pick your character. Well, guess what? That character now is going to have some type of a unique thing that they do.
Awesome.
That's
awesome. Now,
cool.
And I was going to say it's actually not one piece of plastic because the middle piece pops out and can be put into different, maybe not a watch band, but...
Like a key fob or
a
lanyard.
Or a necklace or...
So, okay, talk about the accessories because then this makes a little bit more sense. Maybe that's the idea.
So if you get... I only saw a little bit of the preview of the accessory. So there was like a lanyard or a keychain, and they give you a little screwdriver tool so you can pop out the middle part of the magic band and put it into the accessory. And that's going to be really cool, especially for people who have sensitivities to things on their wrist or especially parents of children with autism. A lot of times they struggle with getting them to wear the magic bands, and having it on a lanyard or a key fob to attach to the backpack is going to be so helpful. I think that's going to be a really great plus for that.
Yeah, so that middle piece, there's actually two screws, and it just looks like a really small screwdriver that could bring them out. Because you guys saw in the chat there when they said the center pops out, I was the first person to say, oh, I'm going to lose that.
You're going to lose it, right?
That's what I was talking about. The middle's going to pop out on me. But there are some images, and I'll include a couple of these in the show notes, where, like Charlotte said, it just looks like a luggage tag almost, something you clip on a lanyard, and it's inside of it. It's pretty cool.
I will say, even just the standard one, just the wristband, to me looks much more comfortable to wear than the current iteration.
It does. It looks thinner and more pliable.
And looks wider.
Right. It kind of looks like it'll mesh to your wrist a little bit easier than the magic bands do.
Yeah.
You have to imagine they've learned, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And it's great to see. It's awesome to see. And there were a lot more colors now. Plus, like, if they're going to pop out the center, you can match it up to any color band.
Mm-hmm. Really cool.
Very cool.
I didn't think about that, though.
Now, one thing that
they
did...
The center is one color. So the center is the color of the band. So then you could actually even, as time goes by and you get more bands, you could even mix and match colors where you could have a red center with a blue band.
Ding, ding, ding. Yep,
do your
exactly.
Your team colors.
Be Captain America.
Oh, awesome. Right.
Yeah,
Captain
very
America.
Cool.
You need the center to be the shield, Jimmy. That's awesome.
That's right. I could probably...
Well, and then I'm sure they'll be selling the bands, the specific bands for whatever events coming up that you can then match your centerpiece to.
And, you know, as much as, like, Sam was talking about his Darth Vader band, and I like some of those customized bands, but this band it's a little wider, so it has so much more real estate for them to decorate and do special ones. When you put your magic band on the kiosk, it turns green. Well, if you have one of the special ones, like Sam's, will turn instead of turning green, it turns red, and you hear the post breathe.
Which is cool, because it usually freaks out the cast members, because it's red. And it never turns red, right? Because red's bad. It's not,
right, it turns
which
blue.
Which is why when it doesn't work, it's blue. Yeah, so I
right,
tap
when it does work, it's blue. If it does work, it's green. It never turns red.
Right, it turns red, and they're like, what's going on?
What did you do, Sam?
Yeah, this guy can't come in.
That's
fine. He's banned.
My Figment... I have a couple of Figment bands, and they do rainbow things.
Nice.
So they
That's
do
cool.
rainbow, and it makes it sound like magic. And
awesome. It's, yep.
I love Figment.
Very cool. That's
Very
what
nice.
You get for an extra $15 when you buy your magic band.
Right.
Sure, and they do have them labeled on the packaging. I remember it's like a C version of the type of Magic Band, or it's an animated something, but it was an extra letter you always had to look for if it wasn't obvious by the price. So cool. Yeah, definitely. I'm always looking to try to get one. I never found one I really want to get, though.
Kim, we bought Kim one at the outlet. We bought her at the Haunted Mansion one, which is just basically the wallpaper from the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And we got one at the outlet for like $5.
Nice.
There are usually some at the outlet. Every time we've been at the outlet, they're usually one of the bands from the parks, one of the special bands. Now, that one, the Haunted Mansion one, doesn't do anything special that we've noticed anyway.
Now, what is really interesting with the Magic Bands are they said going to be sending this new band out to annual pass holders next month. Now, I renewed my pass last month, and I got my annual pass Magic Band. Well, then about a week later, 2 weeks later after receiving my first Magic Band, I got a notification on my Disney Experience saying I needed to make modifications and do my Magic Band for my annual pass. And I logged in and I checked, and it said that I was getting another one just for the heck of it. So now I realize why I got another one is because I think they're probably trying to clear out what they've got to start these new ones. Does that make sense?
Very cool.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
Looks like the base colors are the same colors as Magic Band 1. I don't see anything different here. The gray, purple, blue, green, the standard colors.
I think the gimmick is them being able to switch the middle up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So really what you're picking then is the color of the face of the center, if you think about it, right?
True.
And do you want something neutral that you can match to a lot? I think we're going a little deep now.
I want them all. What are you talking about?
I want them all. You just got to plan 7 trips to Walt Disney.
There you go. Well, let's see if they modify that policy then also down the road. They were thinking about it early on.
You know, another thing I just thought of, though, they're talking about swapping the middles. So you don't need every color, right? Because the middle is the only part that really works and matters. So if me and Kim orders a red one and I order a blue one, as long as I keep my middle, I can use her band and we can swap bands.
Sure.
True.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that was announced this week, and it was done at, I'm not sure exactly what it was. It was an event for the press or the media, and it was pretty cool because a friend of ours went there, Mike Rahman from the Be Our Guest show. He was down there, so I was able to see one of those Facebook Live shows of it. They just announced at Disney Springs they're going to have the new drones, basically Stars in the Sky or Drones Lights in the Sky show. They have a Christmas show now at Disney Springs where I don't think it's on schedule yet, and I've seen where it's been on 2 different nights, so I'm not sure if it's even better on a schedule that way yet. But basically what they're doing is they're partnering up with Intel and using drone technology and, of course, the Intel computer power, they are able to do 3-dimensional shows in the sky. They have 300 drones that they have flying above the lake at Disney Springs that create incredible shapes, 3-dimensional shapes that then start turning on themselves on their own center axis. We've seen a number of different videos. Have you guys seen any of these videos yet? I'm sure you have.
Yes, amazing.
Yes. I saw Lou was there live streaming the same night, I guess Mike was, for the press event.
Right, and there's some good videos out on YouTube. There's some little blurry videos out there. And basically they have about a 10-minute show, or a little less than that, of some Disney announcements, some Christmas music, and then the drones doing the show as they change shapes in the sky, from angels to an incredible 3-dimensional Christmas tree, where you have the spiraling down of the lights turning on that are on the drones and the reds of the ornaments and things like that. And then that tree starts turning in the sky and you can see the three dimensions, how it looks 3-dimensional. Really, really incredible, which brings up the fun part of what are they going to do with this technology now?
That's exactly what I was thinking. This show is really interesting and cool, but the future and the other ways they can implement these things in time into different shows is really interesting to me.
Oh, yeah. Now, I tell you what, once you listen to the show, please go out to YouTube, check out some of these videos. I just did a search on Disney Springs drones. You're going to find it right away. when I was looking into some more information about these drones, because I am in the market for a drone, I have been the last couple of years, so I've been always thinking about it. These are drones from Intel, which I cannot afford. the ones they're using at the park, they call them the Shooting Star Drone, and they're made specifically for this type of show. So now, this is not a Disney-exclusive type of event where you're going to start seeing these around in different areas. And the drones themselves are pretty cool because they're really made for weight. So they only weigh about a half a pound. They're made out of foam and some light plastic. And they're quadcopters, so they got the four blades on them. And they've got an incredibly bright light that hangs in the middle of them. That, and they say it can make 4 billion types of colors or combinations of color, which is pretty incredible. The drones are then tied together using computer programming, where they're all programmed to be about 5 feet away from each other. And then they just launch up. And Intel has some great YouTube videos showing them doing this because they actually broke a world's record in a Guinness Book of World Records for launching 100 drones simultaneously. And then they also then rebroke the record with 500 drones simultaneously. And the things they did in the sky was a lot more advanced than what we saw at Disney. So we're getting ready for some better things. In the sky for their show, they spelled out the word Intel. Block letters, and it was really perfect. They did 500 also in the sky. Very cool. The ones at Disney are a little bit more abstract at this point, but I think it's only a matter of time before we start tightening up and make it a lot better.
I have two thoughts about this. First, obviously, you're right. This isn't it's Intel's technology. Of course, it's awesome that Disney is putting their spin on it. I got to think that Intel was very, very happy to team up with Disney on this, because it's got to be. I mean, it's such a great advertisement for them. The other thought is this how The Matrix started?
Seriously. Well, they're not autonomous. Okay. So there is a difference there. And as I was looking at it, that was one of the things. It's only down the road. Okay. One of the things I noticed was when they broke the record for 100 drones in one time flying, they had four pilots with 25 drones each. When they do the Disney show, they have 300 drones piloted by just one person.
Wow.
So even in the 3 months between the two events, or 4 months, they've been able to improve on the software so much that they have just one pilot. And one of the programmers actually jokes about they have actually two people responsible, because they have the pilot, then they have the guy behind him in case the pilot faints, because they have to have someone take over. So it really says a lot in the ease of the system. It was cool seeing the different Intel videos, because you saw the generations of the drones get smaller and then a little bit more safer. All the blades are covered up with cages, so if they do fall on people, even though they're supposed to be 100 feet from crowds, they have to, I guess, be careful safety-wise.
Sure.
And again, I was just so impressed with what it is. And you got to think, if this is not just Disney exclusive, we're going to be seeing these at perhaps Super Bowl or racing events. Some of the technologies they were saying that's going to be helped is search and rescue. Imagine somebody getting lost in the mountain. You send out 100 drones all kind of mapped against each other, all searching in grid areas.
Sure.
Construction, inspection, and farming and things like that. But the technology's out there. How long till we get to the Matrix? Well, I don't know. We've got like maybe 200 or 300 years based on the movie, so we'll see. As long as we don't let the machines have their own city, we're safe.
Right.
For you Matrix nerds, you'll know what I'm talking about.
The whole thing with the drones just blows my mind. Just watching that, it was so mind-boggling. And, you know, we were hearing that Illuminations was going to get replaced. I would not be surprised if, when it does get replaced, if it's not drones. I mean, they have that big area of sky right there over World Showcase Lagoon. So
there are some limitations, however, which Epcot brings them to mind, in that they can't be flown over 10-mile-an-hour winds. So if the wind is above 10 miles an hour, they probably won't go on. So to me, that means they can't be part of a scheduled show every night. So it would be probably special occasions, unless they come up with better technology or stronger drones. I don't know if that would even help in the wind, to be honest with you.
So yeah. I think what we have here is an enhancement to existing shows.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think
yes.
This technology becomes combined with other things. So let's step back a second. What they're doing right now at Disney Springs Well, Intel did 500 of these in a one-time-only event that was cool, and let's face it, they're advertising the technology, right? Now, right. Disney has to take that and come up with a way to use this repeatedly, you know, two or three times a night throughout the holiday season, and then turn that into something bigger. So while Disney is launching 300 drones a night, they probably have 400 of them or 500 of them, right?
Oh, sure, and they do. And they mention how they have to have about 50 just in reserve. So if they have one that the battery dies or loses connectivity or something like that, they send another one right up in a formation. And the way they talk about it, it's so like – have you ever seen the movie Ender's Game where it's the boy controlling a bunch of spaceships and drone spaceships?
Yep.
It's the same concept.
That's
exact same concept.
This is all – from a technology point of view, this is all about the software. Right? Because
right.
Let's face it, let's go back and apply this to something else. The Osborne lights. Lights were awesome, all lit up, and until you had the software that you can correspond to music and put the circuits in play to turn it off and on in unison, that's what made the lights dance. Here,
right.
You can have 500 drones, but you can't have 500 people flying them. You need software that's going to coordinate those together with GPS in each one of those that's continually getting updated on its position, so if one falls out, another one can go up. This is
right.
Cool. Now, another piece of this that I found interesting, they're launching them from somewhere near Saratoga Springs. So they come out of Saratoga Springs and then fly over the lake where this show happens. So there are great viewing opportunities all around. I'm expecting that bridge that they built would be a great place to watch this, but I haven't watched it close enough.
Right.
They're over the water, so if there's an issue, it's going to fall into the water and you launch another one, right? So safety's sort
right.
of taken care of.
Sure.
The 10-mile-an-hour winds you mentioned. So it.
I got to say, the more I think about it, the kind of creepier it is.
Like
when you mentioned it, though, coming from Saratoga Springs, I'm just thinking of all these drones just kind of flying in pattern, like
just flying
like,
over.
And then they just, and then all of a sudden,
fly
they go into formation. Yeah.
You can't see them until they're in formation and they light up.
Right, unless it's against a twilight sky.
Right.
And to be honest with you, they did have some shows with twilight sky that were pretty incredible too. Kind of like a fireworks show that's not totally dark. But now, they've only got about 20 minutes of battery life. So
a five-minute show.
So you have to get them on stage, get them set, start the show, and then get them off of stage. The way they were launching them, especially for the 500, they actually stack on top of each other. Whether or not they take off from on top of one another and get into the sky, I'm not sure. But you got to think about it. 500 drones. That is a lot of machinery for, you know, you're going to have your crew. You're going to have a big crew, I guess, just unpacking those guys.
Yeah.
Plugging them in, things like that. But so I'm not sure exactly how the logistics is going to work. Maybe just a big barge that has them all on it, ready to go. You move it wherever you need to.
Sure.
We'll see.
Where you have – there's a spot right on the on the shore over there. I heard that the
sure.
coolest part of this is when they leave, like at the end of the show, because they all just sort of fly back over to Saratoga Springs and land. Sounds kind of creepy.
Creepy.
Where do they
oh,
go?
You know what? Okay, here it is. Here's what it sounds like. It sounds like the Bowler Derby hat from Meet the Robinson.
There you go.
That's what it
creepy.
Is. The whole crew of them flying
exactly.
together.
Exactly. See?
It's awesome.
Okay.
I really think the opportunity here is to enhance so many other things. Disney's just touching the tip of the iceberg here. They're testing it. Somebody somewhere said, go and prove it. Here's 300 of them. Make it happen. They'll come back and check the box and say it works. Now where else can we apply this? Think Pandora.
Right.
Think Star
yep.
Wars. Think Epcot. Think, oh my gosh, the places are unlimited, the things they could.
Oh, okay, Star Wars. Think of the big building with the fireworks show, and behind it you have a set of drones shaped like a TIE fighter.
Exactly.
Boom, right there. Set. But
awesome.
Anyway, so
you
we're looking forward
that.
To it. It's only going to get better, but definitely a thumbs up. I'm so glad we got to talk about
yeah,
this.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
All right. I'll go next. So I'm very, very excited to talk about this, and this is why I picked this topic. Epcot announced a new festival, the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. Described as a trifecta of global masterpiece that combines visual, culinary, and performing arts. The event is slated for 6 weekends beginning January 13th through February 20th. And when they say weekend, it's going to run from Friday through Monday. The festival promises to cover a range of Disney artists, both past and present, such as Mary Blair, Herb Ryman, Joe Kaminsky, and Costa Alaviso. However, this won't be just a simple display of artwork. Guests will be able to view creative process while artists bring some of their visions to life right there at the festival. In addition, hosting a number of master artists, Disney is collaborating with Disney Theatrical to bring some exciting performances to the American Gardens Theater stage. Disney has published that Broadway talent is expected to showcase a repertoire of favorite musical numbers. The concert will present the music of Disney on Broadway and run all 6 weeks.
Oh. I did see that part about the Broadway thing, and that's probably going to be a big hit.
Yeah, and then also, they're also going to, as expected, food features at the new event, known as the Food Studios. Guests will be treated to culinary creations that look too good to eat. Nevertheless, we fully expect that we all will somehow overcome the challenge and fill our bellies with whatever these master chefs spotlight on their stage. And the reason I'm so excited about this is because it starts January 13th, and I arrive in Disney World on January 13th. So
that's cool.
Nice.
I'll be there for
very
the opening.
Sweet.
Very excited. And that article I just read was is on InsideTheMagic.com, posted by Jenny Lynn Knopp.
Cool. Very cool. So another reason to sell food.
It starts January 13th, and it goes through February 20th.
Which
somebody actually said this a couple months ago. They're going to have to fill the spot in Epcot where they don't have a festival.
Me and Sam thought they would keep expanding the Flower Gardens Festival.
Well, so this is going to go from Holidays Around the World, which goes through like January 3rd, so give you 10 days. And then after this is finished, you have 10 days before Flower and Garden starts.
Right. Flower and Garden starts on the 1st
so
of March.
Right,
so
in there.
Fits right. Yep. And there was that some other festival. Was it the Festival of the Masters or something they used to do with the was a big art event that they haven't done in a while.
Over at Disney Springs.
Yeah, so they haven't done that in a while. So some people are speculating this is kind of taking the place of that, but they're bringing it to Epcot.
No, it's a great idea. I think it can definitely be expanded. You can definitely put movies in some of the theaters around the park. The Figment Theater, if nothing else.
I love the idea of the Broadway talent. I mean, they're talking about, like, you know, some of the cast members from Lion King and stuff being on the stage at the American Gardens Theater and doing some
cool.
of the act. I mean, that's
and all the cruise lines have their different theatrical shows too. They probably could bring things from that.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm pretty
and bill it as such.
Yep,
nice. That is going to be good. I tell you what, someone said some of the food booths were still set up after Food and Wine was done. I wonder if they're going to kind of survive through Christmas season selling things and then kind of hang out for this next season coming up.
They get re
So the bigger ones.
The bigger ones get re-themed. So what was, you know, in Italy for Flower and Garden ends up becoming, you know, the holidays around the world in Italy. It's the same physical booth, but it's different in its theming. And now you just change that around, and it becomes a part of this festival, and then you change it again, and it becomes part of Flower and Garden.
And they just announced recently that even the Odyssey, the craft beer place, is going to stay open through the holidays. Oh, so I wonder if they're just going to continue to keep it open, I mean, almost all year round.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah. I hope they keep serving food in there, too. That was great.
Yeah. You know
the
what comes to mind, too, is
like that. That's good.
The area near Germany. Comes to mind where they put in those permanent booths and the permanent sidewalks and seating locations. Do you know what talking about? From where Snow White is.
You're talking about they're the beer booths, right?
It's the beer garden, right?
Yeah, the beer garden.
For
right,
part
yeah.
of it. But what they do, it's the beer garden. Then after Food and Wine, you know how they bring in their shrubs that are on wheels and they sort of go around the area. It stays there for 3 or 4 days, and then when it comes down, it's the German Christmas village. But it's the same booths, right? So now you bring the same thing in and you turn it into what's next. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Can't really fault them for that, especially, like I said, the big ones are tough to move. Now, real quick, I just want to backtrack. We mentioned Herb Ryman, and I only learned this summer, which was cool, and I was lucky enough to check it out. In the American Pavilion at Epcot, there's a Herb Ryman portrait. You know how around the rotunda inside you have the different portraits on the walls of different pictures of America? One of my favorite ones is the one they're building the B-17s, and there's a bunch of different ones. Well, the one of the immigrants, it's a really colorful one. I think it's in the theater to the left, or in that pre-area to the left, where you have a really bright sunset behind the, or sunrise, I guess you would say, behind the Statue of Liberty, and then the whole mass is there. That's a Herb Ryman painting. I thought that was pretty cool to check that out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, with the new festival, and then you mentioned the craft beer place staying open past Food and Wine, and all it does is just prove that there is no longer slow times at the park. They're right. Filling up all the times with things because there's always people now. I mean, there's really...
I think that's part of it. I think another big part of it is, I was listening, I don't even remember the name of the podcast, so I was listening to another podcast, and they brought up a very, very good point, and it made me think about it, that when we were younger, we went to Epcot to enjoy Future World, and you went to almost World Showcase because you had to. But nowadays, that's kind of flipped. It seems like World Showcase is the draw at Epcot. That's where everybody wants to be. So I think they're capitalizing on that. They're seeing a shift in the crowds and what people are looking for. And a lot of people are looking for that more adult entertainment. And I'm not just, you know, I'm talking about people that just want to go hang out and enjoy the environment and have a drink and listen to music and stuff like that. And it's so it's interesting.
Hey, Ed, I think Jimmy just admitted he got old. Did you hear that?
Still not. Well, I'm still not as old as either one of you.
Well, I'm good to hear that because I was going to disagree with them. It's like I still like to go to play at Epcot, and I think World Showcase is if you just want to hang out. Consider it like a Disney Springs almost, you know, where you kind of go, eat, relax, you know, walk around the restaurants. But no, I still like the rides at Epcot.
Well, I do too.
But I get it.
But so look at it this way, from Disney's point of view, when were the slower times? The slower times are typically that lull that happens between those two, right? It's the area between the holidays around the world and Flower and Garden, and now you have another festival to attract people into that time frame.
You're going to have to book trips between these festivals. That's what's going to happen. Like
in the summer.
The 2 weeks.
Why is there no festival in the summertime? Because they don't need one.
They don't need one now. And the 2 weeks before Food and Wine started, John said the parks were empty.
Yep.
So that was that 2 weeks in, you know, basically while the summer dried up and before they opened Food and Wine. And then a week into Food and Wine, it was jammed again until now.
Also, because it's a billion degrees 2 weeks before Food and Wine.
It is, yeah.
I mean, you're right in the
beginning but you know
of
what?
September, end of August.
July, August, it's, you know, tens in the parks. It's pretty hot then, too.
Yeah.
So that's, I think it's not much.
Yeah, but I mean most schools go back at the beginning of September. So yes, I mean September's a good time. It really is. We used to go every year.
It's almost the only one of the only good times left.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think end of January, and most of February, I think is still pretty good times to go.
We'll see this year.
Avoid race weekends and President's Day because those are packed.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing.
So you got to be pick and choose. You can't just say it's all of January, right? Because it's
No. It's after the first week. It's the last 3 weeks of January because the first week is marathon weekend. But I think once you get away from that, it slows down pretty good. And then February is traditionally a slower time, and I think that's still true for the most part. Like you said, other than President's Day,
that would be a great time to add a festival at Epcot, and that's exactly what they. So there you go.
There you go. Now all this talk about Epcot has got me excited because Jen. Said that during Destination D, they revealed that Epcot's going to be getting some love. Now, of course, she'll have more details about that when she gets to come on and talk about Destination D, but I'm really excited to see what love Epcot's going to get and how it's going to stay true to Walt's vision, because that was something that I retweeted myself when I saw that posted on Twitter. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do to Epcot to give Future World some love again.
Always good.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. So what else is new?
One of the other things I just wanted to bring up real quick as the travel agent for the podcast is Disney also announced a new ticket option, which I think is pretty interesting. And it is a 4-day ticket, one park per day. The caveat is it's cheaper than a regular four-day base ticket, but the caveat is you have to visit all four parks, so you can't go to any park twice. But I think for a lot of people that want to go down for a shorter trip and plan on visiting all four parks anyway, it's a good deal. It saves probably about, I think me and Ed figured it out, but probably about $40 or $45 on each ticket. So for a family of four, you know, that's $180.
Right. The thing we thought that was probably the worst is that you have to make sure you plan it out correctly. If you're going during the seasons where they have Halloween parties or Christmas parties at Magic Kingdom, you don't want that to be your Magic Kingdom day because you're going to get stuck getting kicked out at 7 o'clock.
Right.
So keep that in mind. Keep in mind if you're staying in the parks or staying out of the parks, because you also don't want to match that up with an extra Magic Hour day. Or you do, based on what park, you know, if you're staying in the parks then, too. Other than that, it's definitely a good deal.
I think another good point about that ticket is if you are going during a week where there's a party, that's a great way to save some money if you want to plan to go to the party and just buy the party ticket, which gives you a fifth day that you can get in the park at 4 o'clock and go enjoy it.
Right. Good point.
Right. Absolutely. We used to do that a lot when we would go down for our quick Christmas trip, and we would only have a few days in the park, so I would have either a 2 or 3 day park ticket, and then one day that was the party ticket, so we would have 4 days total down there. We only focused on Christmas, but it got us that extra day. I would definitely have taken advantage of these tickets.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal.
Cool. Awesome. Okay, next.
All right, something else that was announced during Destination D was that Pandora, the World of Avatar, is going to open at Disney's Animal Kingdom in the summer of 2017. Now, they did not give us an exact date.
Summer?
August 28th.
Starts June the 21st and goes until, what, September the 20th? So, yeah. Summer 2017 is something sometime in there. But I'm pretty excited. We got some concept art. We got the names of the restaurant and a couple of other things. And I know everyone has just moaned and groaned about Avatar. And, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that they bought this and they're going with this partnership. And I just think it is going to be beautiful. I finally watched Avatar. Former guest here on the podcast, John Panda, he wanted to make sure I saw Avatar, and I did finally, and I really enjoyed it. And I really paid more attention to what everything looked like because I can imagine how amazing that's going to look there in Animal Kingdom in Pandora. So I'm pretty excited for summer next year, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I think I've dropped the whole Avatar connection to the movie and have just kind of accepted Avatar being another land at Animal Kingdom.
Right.
It's like Frontierland. It's not really tied to anything. It's just Frontierland.
Sure. And from the parking lot, it does look incredible. We've got floating mountains. I mean, it's cool. So I'm looking forward to it, too. I can't wait.
Here's my thoughts on this. So we got an opening date set for summer next year, which is awesome. I'm very happy we have an opening date. But what does that mean? What parts? Is this the whole land? They're being so vague in the way they announce it that it could be one piece of one part of the whole project.
Well, sure. Based on New Fantasyland, I would expect it to open up in pieces. But you never know. It could be the whole experience where it's something new to open it at one time. I mean, if you're waiting for the next movie to come out, they've got the time.
Yeah, I guess they do. But, I mean, Rivers of Light was premiering for summer last year. That never happened. So we'll see what happens.
But speaking of Rivers of Light, they are having a cast member preview on next week on the 27th and 28th at 8 p.m. It's only for cast members. There's no photography or videoing. And I'm pretty excited to see what the cast members come back and report, because you know they'll be all over the Facebook group and telling us, giving us little insider tips, and I'm pretty excited about that. So if Rivers of Light is having a preview for cast members next week, that means it's very close. I feel that it must be very close.
You're right.
And that seems like out of nowhere. That's pretty incredible.
Out of nowhere, 6 months later.
Well, that's the point. We haven't heard anything of it in 6 months.
Well,
more than
I'll throw another caution out there, and I don't want to be the negative guy.
Sure,
but cast member previews are where they found the issues last time. They cost them 6 months.
True. We got to reach out to Chris, see if she's going.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, or at least hear about it firsthand. That would be kind of cool, too. Awesome. I can't wait for that.
It'll be good.
Yep, and we only have a week to wait to see if it's going to happen, so nice. One other thing new that came out this week, and actually it came to my attention on our Facebook group page because it was a little controversial. They, last week, were introducing a form of cabana in the Magic Kingdom parking lot. Now, the report said in the parking lot, but when I saw a picture of it, it looked like it maybe was under some trees near some, like, a side of the parking lot area. So I'm not exactly sure the location. Maybe some of you guys know where that is. But they looked like similar to the cabanas they have Castaway Key. And the way they sound, it's stocked similarly with soft drinks, ice, a person to help you out, a personal, I guess, concierge for maybe a bunch of them together to help you out. But they had a price tag, which was pretty incredible. And that's what I think kind of caused some of the controversy on our page. To have a cabana for the day, which is the full day that the Magic Kingdom is open, it's $670, I think, or something around that.
That's about that.
So, what? I don't get it.
Right. Wait a minute. I can get a room at the Grand Flow, right?
For less than $600.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. You seriously could. At any one of those hotels if you wanted to.
It is for eight people,
yes.
Though.
It's for, supposedly will hold eight people, have supplies, water, soft drinks for eight individuals. Nothing hard. I didn't hear beer or liquor. And it looked pretty lavish. They were made out of canvas at this point. And the theory is, or the idea was, that they'll be made out of something more permanent if it's something that they'll keep. The general consensus online was like, they didn't get it, nobody's going to use it, why are they having it? And it got pretty negative, believe it or not. I think if that's the case, then they'll probably just go away. That's just something that Disney's trying out. I think if they could sell these, it's not their fault they're selling them, it's because people would like to use them. We talked about this quickly before the show, and Sam mentioned how some of the other parks, like Six Flags Parks and even Hershey in Pennsylvania, they do have areas where you can rent cabanas for the full day you're at the park and kind of make it a base location for you to kind of keep coming back to with the family and such. Ideas are maybe multiple families renting these together. I think they have eight being the max because they don't want you to have somebody renting it and then have everybody coming in and visiting. Anything else to add about that, guys? What do you think? I mean,
okay, the Kingdom, they're called the Kingdom Cabanas. They are situated near Space Mountain in Tomorrowland, so they're not out in the parking lot.
Okay.
They are $649, and in it includes the private and shaded seating.
What are you doing? Come in with all these facts.
Jeez,
how dare you bring the facts to one of our podcasts?
I know. Someone has to do it right. Like Ed said, it's going to have beverages and snacks. It has charging stations, sunscreen, hand sanitizer, insect repellent, a refrigerator. It has a fruit basket, a one-time delivery of ice cream, novelties, and desserts, personalized Mickey ears, and reserved viewing space for parades and fireworks. So at $650, that is really outrageous, but
I don't care.
But
you got the money to burn. Why not?
If you have money to burn, if you are a family, two families, and you have eight people or less together, and you go in and cut costs down a little bit, but here's where I think these cabanas are going to be the winner. They're going to be great for the families who have extended family with them, like maybe some very older seniors, people in wheelchairs, maybe some disabled family members, people who need to get out of the sun, people who could use a little decompression. And as expensive as it is, I can totally understand that if you are a mom and you are pushing a stroller and you have a family member in a wheelchair, you've got all of this group with you. The last thing that you want to do is get out of the park for to get to your resort to take a rest for 2 hours to get and start all over and get all back in the park. That could, I mean, that time is money, and I could see where some people would want, you know what, we have this cabana, I can go rest in it when it's too hot for me, I'm too tired, the baby needs a nap. I mean, I can see that. I think they're probably going to last. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I don't buy it. I'm sorry.
I would rather pay the $20 for a taxi to back to the hotel and sleep there. Although, I tell you what, I think it's awesome Disney's going to do it, and I think it's great to try out new things. I really can't fault them at all.
And
being in the park, to me, is a definite more advantage than from what I was explaining or what I heard that they were in the parking lot. So that makes a lot more sense, too. However, I think it's literally going to be for the exclusives. It's going to be for the the guided tours all day crowd, as opposed to being for really anybody else. But we'll see. You know,
$650. I mean, if they rent one a day.
Yeah. Well,
someone has a goal somewhere, and if they meet it, you're going to see these canvases turn into permanent structures.
That's right. Yes.
And if they don't meet it, it's just going to go away, and it was something they tried and it didn't work.
Sure. Now, it's not as expensive as building little cabanas on the lake like they did over the Polynesian, but they are selling those guys too. And they're
less expensive than 8 people going to a villains party.
It is? Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Now, you know, where they are too, think about the places throughout Magic Kingdom where you could easily hide these things.
Yeah,
where
I mean, I don't
even see them.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put them like right in the middle of a, you know.
No,
I think they're
going to
be smart about it. I think they're going to put on, if they do come, I think they'll theme them where they're probably hardly noticeable. But,
yep.
You know.
I agree.
We'll see.
I don't think they're long term.
I don't think so either, but.
Unless they adjust the price accordingly, and that's, they're going to see, they're testing supply and demand.
Well, we're also entering into a extremely busy time, and I know people that go at Christmas and use the plaids just because they're able to get in and out and have the tour guide and do the lines and everything without any wait. And I can totally see them using this because they wouldn't want to leave when it's so crowded. You know what? Yep. We're just going to stay here. Don't have to worry about leaving. It's so crowded. I don't have to get on the monorail or worry about the bus or anything like that. I have
some
my little
cabana.
Some
people got the money. That it doesn't. There's nothing. You know.
Sure, close the door and pretend you're by yourself.
That's right.
Exactly.
Close
we'll
the flap.
Yeah, right. Mm. But it'll be interesting to see. And I look at it as an experiment where I could stand by and from the outside see how it turns out. And in 3-4 months we'll revisit it again and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Well, very cool. Okay, so why don't we do that switch now, Charlotte, and you can kind of introduce the next segment.
Because of Thanksgiving this week, we wanted to take a little bit of time and discuss what we were grateful for when it comes to Disney and Walt Disney World or Disney as a whole. And, of course, I'm going to be the sappy one, and I am so grateful for the relationships that I have built out of my love for Disney. Between my podcast team members here, the Nerds Facebook group members, our admins, all of the relationships that I have made with the Disney Mom bloggers. It is just such a wonderful, small-knit community. It's big but small at the same time, and everyone kind of knows everyone, and it's so wonderful to have such a wonderful bond with each other, and we all break out in song when we see each other kind of thing. It's a very Mary Poppins, and I love it, and I'm very grateful for it. So that's my sappiness, and I know that Jimmy and Ed and Sam will kind of revert the sappiness for me.
Oh, well, not at all. And though Charlotte's our sappy one, she definitely speaks for all of us because we all feel the same way about that. And, you know, we don't have to be repetitive and keep saying it because it's all very true for all of us. And in that same sappy vein, we all are, of course, thankful for our families who let us keep this Disney vein going, this obsession, this nerdness. And, you know, so we basically think those same things. And what we're going to do now is kind of be thankful for something a little bit less serious. And actually, I'm going to start out by being thankful for the ice cream maker at Disney Hollywood Studios. So now, if you've heard my show, any of the shows before, one of our previous trips, we noticed an artifact in the Star Wars exhibit, the ice cream maker. It's an old 70s version of the electric ice cream maker that was in this little storage locker that had a lot of artifacts from Star Wars. Well, based on finding an ice cream maker, I went on a little journey of investigation and found out that was actually the memory core of a computer run by Wilrow Hood, somebody on the cloud city of Bespin. And when they had to evacuate, Wilrow had that memory core and he put it into the garbage disposal and he got away. Well, the reason why I'm even talking about the story is because the Imagineers at Disney knew that story. They knew it so well, they put an ice cream maker in the exhibit in the Star Wars area of Hollywood Studios for people to see it and find out what that was. That's a very tiny example of what the Imagineers do at Walt Disney World. In all the different rides, attractions, restaurants, and hotels, that's what I'm most thankful for this year. Finding these new experiences. We get to go to the parks a lot, and to actually find new things every time we go is incredible. So I'm very thankful for that.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Thanks.
You know, as I just contemplated, you know, I think the biggest thing I'm thankful for, and I think about all this news that we just talked about for the first part of the show, and I would say I'm thankful for an ever-evolving and changing Walt Disney World. I get asked the question all the time. You go to Walt Disney World all the time. You don't ever just get bored? I'm like, every time I go, I see something new that I haven't seen before. Every time I go, it's a different trip. So, you know, just talking about all the news we just talked about, Avatar Land getting a date, the new festival, new magic bands, new this and that, that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for they keep it fresh, and when we get to go, it's something different every time.
I agree with that, definitely.
Absolutely, Jimmy. That's the reinvesting of Walt Disney World Resort is absolutely it. Things keep evolving and getting better and better. How can you not be thankful for that?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Even Joe Potter said that in that interview I was working on.
Zingo. Me and Joe. Would you like, we're like Zingo. Me and Joe, we're like the same guy.
Zingo.
So along those lines, I have a couple of things to be thankful for, and I think a lot of it comes down to the day that we are recording, which is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving 2016. And I was able to catch a matinee before we recorded this morning of Moana, the latest Disney animated feature. And it had me start to think back to a D23 magazine from the springtime where it proclaimed a new era of storytelling. And it has all the way back to Tangled. It's Tangled and Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero and Frozen and Zootopia. And it ends with Moana. And I have to say, when I first saw this, I really wasn't buying into it. Wasn't buying into this new storytelling. But after seeing that movie earlier today, the little girls singing coming out of it, much like I saw after watching Frozen at the theaters, I think Disney's really onto something here. They're really on to getting and just like reinventing into the parks, reinventing new characters or inventing these new characters, these new personalities that can be brought into the parks. And it's a cycle that just keeps on moving forward. And I absolutely love that. From new movies, new characters, bringing them into the parks for new experiences, all of that. How can you not be thankful for how that all ties together?
Almost like a second Disney Renaissance?
The third, I'd call it.
Okay.
But yeah, very true.
It's the third, right? Remember Waking Sleeping Beauty when we watched that? And it was all about Beauty
and the Beast. That was the second.
That was the second.
Okay.
And I really see this as the third. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what the article in D23 talks to. This is the third Renaissance that we're in the middle of. And it's one of those things that you look back on when it's past and go, oh, wow, look at all those great movies that came out at the same time.
Yeah, you don't
time.
See it when you're in it.
When you're in it, you don't see it because we look that's back right. now and go, oh, you know, Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King, those were all so great. And look at how everything came together. And we're probably going to be looking at those same things. And, you know, when you look at it, the first – watching the credits, executive producer today, John Lasseter.
Nice.
No.
And okay. I'm going, okay, so he's got his hands in this. And before it, we saw the previews for Cars 3 and the live-action Beauty and the Beast, and this stuff just keeps coming, and I'm liking it.
Nice.
Right. And you mentioned Cars 3. We're going to have to talk about that next week a little bit. I saw the trailer from that, the early trailer. That's a very dark beginning.
That's the exact same trailer that was in the movies before today.
Gotcha. Yep. So we'll hold off on that, let people get a chance to go out and see Moana this week and see all that stuff.
And I got one other thing for you to watch out for this week. Actually, tomorrow, when ABC shows us The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration, a new tradition on Thanksgiving evening on ABC from 8 until 10. This is going to be pretty cool.
So does that mean they're not doing anything Christmas morning?
They are also doing the same type thing Christmas morning. They're doing three of them.
Nice. Okay.
Is it filmed from the same show?
That I'm not 100% sure.
Did they film it all at one time and they're just cutting it up and...
Well, we'll see.
We're going to see. Yeah, so
yeah, boys, you should know.
There's a nice long list of who will be in it, but it's something to look forward to tomorrow night.
Yep, I'm excited. I'll definitely have that set to record.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for being on the show this week, and thanks for being part of the podcast.
And thank you, Ed.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ed.
And thank you, Charlotte. And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And thank you, Lisa. And thank you, Jennifer.
Stacy.
And thank you, Stacy. And thank you, John.
And Joe.
And even Joe, even though you drink that light Bud crap
beer you drank. Thank you anyway, Joe.
Thank you, Terry, for being our birthday person.
Thanks, Terry.
Right.
Steve, for changing our picture. We appreciate all of you guys.
Pass the cranberries, man. I'm
love home. Steve Wise. Thank you so much.
I have something very thankful. I am making an apple caramel pie recipe from Whispering Canyon.
Oh, nice. Well,
thank you for sending me some of that, Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, seriously, box it. Set it out.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Charlotte.
And I'm at my Thanksgiving table. And all
you
of us
recipes we need to be...
Okay, well, thank you, guys, and thank you for listening to our show. This has been show number 160, our Thanksgiving show, and we'll talk to you next week. For Sam, Jimmy, and Charlotte, this is Ed. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, you listening? Thank you. No, not you. Thank you. Guajarini.
These people think I'm talking to them, but I'm really just talking to you. Congaloosh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like your car.